The more God seems to take from the abandoned soul, the more he is really giving to it. Let us gain greater knowledge of the divine activity. When God takes from us the things we can see and understand, he always returns them under another form. He never lets us want. It is as if a man had supported a friend openly and generously, and then, for the friend's own good, suddenly pretended he could not provide for him, yet continued to furnish secretly all he needed. Now, this friend, knowing nothing of this mysterious stratagem of love, would feel upset and brood unhappily on the behavior of his former benefactor. But as soon as he began to understand what was really happening, God only knows all the feelings of joy, love, gratitude, embarrassment, and wonder that filled his soul. And how much more affection will he have for his benefactor? And think how this trial will strengthen his feelings for his friend and brace him against any similar shocks. It is easy to draw a lesson from all this. Where God is concerned, the more we seem to lose, the more we gain. The more he strips us of natural things, the more he showers us with supernatural gifts. We certainly loved him a little for these gifts, but when we could no longer be aware of them, we loved him for himself alone. He appears to take away the gifts so that he can give them the greatest gift of all, the one that is the most precious because it embraces within itself all the others. Any soul which has, once and for all, completely submitted itself to God should always interpret everything favorably. The loss of the most able spiritual directors and the mistrust it feels for those who push themselves forward as replacements. For usually, those would-be guides who chase after souls should quite rightly be mistrusted. Those genuinely moved by the Spirit of God have not, as a rule, so much eagerness and complacency. They prefer to wait until they are summoned, and even then they come forward rather hesitantly. So let the self-abandoned soul have no fear when passing through these trials. As long as it cooperates with God's action, that action will achieve wonders within it, in spite of every obstacle. God and the soul work together, and all goes well when the soul is healthy. For though the success of God's action depends, of course, on him, it can be spoiled if the soul proves unfaithful. God's achievement is like the front of a lovely tapestry. The worker employed on such tapestry sees only the back, after stitch with his needle, yet all these stitches are slowly creating a magnificent picture which appears in all its glory only when every stitch is done and it is viewed from the other side. But all this beauty cannot be seen as it is being created. It is the same with the self-abandoned soul. It sees only God and its duty. To fulfill this duty moment by moment consists in adding tiny stitches to the work. Yet it is by these stitches that God accomplishes those marvels of which we sometimes catch a glimpse now, but which will not be truly known until the great day of eternity. How good and wise are the ways of God! All that is sublime and exalted, great and admirable in the task of achieving holiness and perfection, he has kept for us, and he has kept for his own power. But everything that is small, simple, and easy, he leaves us to tackle with the help of grace. So there is not a single person who cannot easily reach the highest degree of perfection by performing every duty, no matter how commonplace, with eager love.